The Doug Steffen Good Day Download with Doug and Jay Kirshner is made possible in part by Kellitrin, which is the safe way for you to lose weight and keep it off. And also by Prevagen, keeping your brain healthy.
Good conversation here, I promise, I promise, I promise. I'll swear on a stack of Bibles, if I could find a stack. I can find one. How many Bibles, Jay Kirshner is here with Doug Steffen. How many Bibles do you have in your house? If I were to say to you, all right, Jay, you have to swear allegiance on a stack of Bibles, What would you find?
Three hard copies. I have two apps on my phone.
Yeah, really? Okay. So There you go. Bing, bang, boom. All right. So let's see how many people were praying last night to win the lottery and how many people were disappointed. The good news is there were some winners. The bad news, or I don't know whether this is bad news or not, there were no big winners. The jackpot is $1.35 billion. How many people think, this is a good question for social media, Facebook and Instagram, at Good Day Radio Show, Twitter, Good Day On Air. How many people think this is rigged? And because of the success of being able to sell more tickets, the bigger the volume of the jackpot, the more people buy tickets. So
how could they rig it, though? Because they do the drawing with the balls.
Yeah, that ball thing could be easily rigged. Why don't anybody tell me the last time there was a winner in a big city? Go back over the history of either Powerball or Mega Millions and find a winner who lived in New York, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago, San Francisco, Washington. I don't, in my recollection, and this is not the first time I've talked about this, be like, oh, wow, that's right. Look at that. Anyway, and I think it's okay because somebody somewhere is going to be very happy at one point in time when they come up with the right number.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the next shot at winning is certainly agreeably one of the largest prizes in the game's history. Is Friday. So now...
That's true. Well, but also when you think about it, how many big cities are there compared to how many small towns? And how many people are buying in small towns?
People.
Because aren't we always told, don't buy at gas stations, don't buy in the big cities, buy at the, like, off-road marketplaces.
Yeah, that's
and all
what
that
I do.
Stuff. So how many... Yeah, so yeah. There wouldn't be a big... There's probably not as many people actually playing.
Well, right, exactly.
Not
well,
just only that they live in the big city, but they're not buying in locations of big cities.
I don't know. I wouldn't argue that point
where
the answer.
Where are statistical people? All the analysts.
Yeah, where are the statisticians?
All those numbers.
Right. Let's get at them and find out what they think. So the question on social media is whether or not you think it's rigged. You can yes, no, and maybe extrapolate a little bit of your own thinking on that. The jackpot, third largest prize in the history of the Mega. It was, and that's not to be confused with the Meg. there was that big eating shark, wasn't that what that was? The Meg? The big shark will get you.
Yeah,
well,
Jason Statham, huge shark.
Yep. So let's see here. It was November of last year, Powerball paid out $2 billion. And you wonder whether there's collusion between Mega Millions and Powerball, too. The odds of winning the Mega Millions jackpot now 1 in 302 million, which is about the population of our country. So that's the deal, cash or the annuity thing. If you were to get the yearly, people don't, they always take the cash.
Yeah.
One
big payout.
Right.
I would totally go with the yearly payouts.
29 yearly payments, and every year it grows by 5% because it's invested.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year you'd get 1/30th of the, $2 billion, right? 1/30th of that, which is, that's $60 million. And then you multiply that next year, there's another $3 million added to it because it goes up 5% each year. I think I'd take that deal, frankly. At any rate, well, am I going to be around for 30 years? I'm hoping, right? Keep your fingers crossed. The Good Day program, let's see, in 30 years, it'll be 2053. And you can join Jay and I every morning for that conversation. Anyway, there was a $15 million lottery ticket sold in Wisconsin, the town in which, this is proof positive of what I'm saying about where you go. And Jay just made that point probably better than I did. The town in Wisconsin where the ticket was sold is called L-U-C-K, Luck. Right? Good luck in luck. The six Mega Million numbers in the drawing netted the winner $15 million. This is the Wisconsin lottery. The winning ticket was sold at Wayne's Food. We all know about Wayne's Food, right? This town has 1,100 residents. So, anyway, get your lottery report. Congratulations to Wayne's Foods in Luck, Wisconsin, for selling a $15 million Megabucks ticket. The store manager has been on television all over the place joking, quote, "I was looking for my ticket, but I didn't have one." The winner has not come forward yet, according to the station. I think if I were doing it, I wouldn't want people to know that I'd done it, right? Small town, big word.
Well, and that's one of the things where if you want to stay anonymous, then you need to make sure you travel to a place where you are allowed to stay anonymous if you do not currently live in, like, I think Ohio you can stay anonymous. Can you in Massachusetts?
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure. I remember the last time there was a winner in Massachusetts. Numbers were 4, 6, 12, 17, 27, and 28. My numbers were 3, 13, 17, 48, 53, and 17. Wow. Couldn't have been much further off, huh? All right. So good luck to that person. You can still do a lot. The odds of winning Megabucks in Wisconsin are only 6 million, almost 7 million to 1. That's better. Those are better odds.
Much better odds. Mm-hmm.
All right, better. Let's move to Wisconsin. Except it's a lot of great cows and a lot of great dairy there, but it's too damn cold this time of year. Oof. Okay, so let's do a little political run at our friend George Santos, biggest phony in, and there are a lot of phonies in Washington. This guy takes the cake. Remember George Santos, who has lied about every single thing, every single way that he got himself elected, every single thing he said, did, was a huge, huge lie. So there are some reps. And this is what makes the Democrats look bad. Should be other Republicans who are filing ethics complaints against this guy. But the Democrats have done it. Just a couple of reps filed a complaint with the House Ethics Committee on Ethics. The House of Representatives has an obligation, excuse me, so they say. And this is just the start of our mission to hold George Santos accountable. Now, his constituents should hold him accountable, not these guys, because these guys have an axe to grind. Mm-hmm. They're Democrats. He's a Republican. But by his own admission, this guy's a scumbag. He's a fraud. He's admitted that he didn't go to college, that he didn't work on Wall Street, that he doesn't own any property, that he isn't Jewish. Basically, he said, I needed to say all of those things because I needed the voters to vote for me in Queens County.
Like,
right?
There's zero remorse in any of this. The guy is a full-blown sociopath.
Right, exactly. So he'll get his comeuppance if somebody is smart enough, and I'm betting that there probably are a number of people, including whoever may have run against him as a Republican. His financial reports are a lie. He did not file disclosure reports for most of his campaign.
Well, and he genuinely believes, either he's lying about the fact that he believes nothing he did is unethical, or he genuinely believes he did not do a single thing unethical, which both are horrible options.
Yep. The guy's a bad guy. So speaking of bad guys and good guys, what's the status of Damar Hamlin? He still is undergoing tests, I think, right? He's not quite
ready to go home. Yes, he was able to return to Buffalo. But he's not home. He's not home yet because they have to still monitor him. So he's at least closer to home.
I'm looking at the. I don't think there's anything else about it, right? That's it. And there's the Bills are playing. I saw a promotion for this on CBS last night. Big game on Sunday. I forget who they're playing. I think the Bengals, right? Is it Cincinnati versus Buffalo? I think on Sunday. Anyway,
is
not the place to come for your sports information. I think that's what's going on. So here's something.
They are first in AFC East, which is big, big news.
It is. Yeah.
But what is this coming week? Is it the wild card round?
Is it? You'll have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. So they play the Dolphins. They were playing the Bengals when DeMar had his incident.
Ah, right. Okay, that was it. I knew the Bengals were in there someplace. So the Boston Globe and the Boston Herald today, two of the resources that I use, obviously, I'm taking the local stuff into account. I use a lot of local stuff along with a dozen other resources around the country for information that we can yak about. And so both of the papers this morning are focused on the whereabouts of Anna Walsh, who has been missing now for a number of days. Yesterday, the investigation took a very sour turn because apparently the police found trash bags with her blood, a hatchet, a hacksaw, and used cleaning supplies. So what is that? Her husband has been accused. He misled police. So you know that there's something going on. What kind of, you talk about George Santos being demented. What kind of a demented subhuman does that? Okay, you don't want to be with your wife anymore? Hello.
Her poor family.
Go to court and get a divorce. Yeah, right,
children.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings me around. Think about George Santos and what he's all about, or this guy and whatever he did to his wife. How do these people get so demented? Is it the chemistry in the body and how it affects your brain? Is it the way you're brought up? Is it going to too many violent movies? Watch these things like that Megan movie. What a piece of garbage. Ugh. So what is it? How is it that these people become the monsters that they become?
Mm-hmm. That's really... psychology? Is it sociology?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not psychology as much. Maybe sociology a little bit. But there ought to be some way that we can think about how to try to eliminate some of these people from our midst, if you will. So we really are one-third of the way through this month, Jay. Let there be no confusion. Let there be no misunderstanding. Everybody needs to know that we're moving along in the platform in the world that we are called the Earth. I wonder who gave the planet. I suppose we should have this discussion, maybe not here.
Who named all the planets?
Yeah, right. And why is our planet called the Earth? I'd like to know. Anybody know that? I think that's a good place for us to start, but not now because we have to dig around in some celebrity social media trending news. And on the top of that heap is a part-time wrestler, a part-time CEO, a part-time wife. I don't know what else. She does a lot of things part-time. Stephanie McMahon, who's the daughter of Vince and Linda McMahon, has been co-CEO of the WWE, World Wrestling Experience. Is that what the E? It used to be WWF, but what's the E stand
for? Yeah, but
for?
World Wildlife Federation had to on that.
Like
so
they
swapped,
them, right?
Yeah, swapped it over to WWE. And she was co-CEO with Nick Khan. And this was what she took about a leave of absence sometime earlier in the year. And then Vince McMahon had to take his own leave of absence, and he had to resign because he was under investigation for using WWE funds to pay employees hush money.
Shocking. You think he did
all
that?
All those things, yeah.
Oh, my God, what a shocker. Yeah.
Well, he reappointed himself on the board on Friday with intentions to help negotiate WWE's impending TV deal, and I guess Stephanie McMahon is just like, you know what, I've done it. I've done things here. I have other things to go do. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had nice things to say. There was nothing, no ill will in the statement she released. It was all exciting things. And she even used the term excited, or the phrase exciting, the word exciting.
Well,
exciting.
I would think she'd be disgusted with her father. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. Did they get divorced, Linda and Vince? He was using the money from the WWE to
hush money.
Yeah, right. So I was going to say having a little fun with some of the girls that are the wrestlers. And so Stephanie was friends with someone. What a dirty pig this guy is. And so he's back and because he wants to take care of himself. As you can kind of tell, he just looks dirty. And he acts dirty. I always thought she was kind of an interesting character. And I always thought Linda was really something fairly special. She ran for the Senate in Connecticut. Didn't win, but she got pretty close.
Anyway, was the 25th administrator of the Small Business Administration.
Yeah,
so she definitely was on the political front.
Yeah, she was well known. So anyway, McMahon says that that his daughter will continue to support the company, whatever that means, just as she did when she was a girl, and remain dedicated. She didn't say that. He said that. So I wonder what she said. I truly love our company, our employees, our fans. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to all the partners, et cetera, et cetera. But you know why she's leaving.
Well,
all right, here
Nick
we are.
Is sole CEO.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It just seems kind of smelly because her old man is a dirtbag. But I'm getting my body fixed as I mature. There are a few things that don't work as well as they used to. So those things are being attended to this winter. I had an operation, sort of an operation. It's called the PRP treatment, done yesterday on my shoulders. And man, am I stiff and sore today. Oof. They stick this big needle. They take your blood and they shake it up so that all the plasma is what's left. It's a yellow liquid. Looks like fat, in fact, but it's the plasma of your blood. They take out these two huge vials. I was wondering, I said to the nurse that's taking the blood out, is there going to be anything left? She said, oh, yeah. And it does the wonderful, amazing thing about the body. I'll talk about this weekend on the Good Day Health Show with Dr. Ken Kronhaus, how your body replenishes, makes new blood. The cells come out of the bone marrow, and if you have healthy bone marrow, you'll have no trouble replenishing the blood supply. If you give blood, that's a good thing to do. You know, there are all kinds of things. When you have your physical every year, have the blood sample taken out so they can analyze it. So anyway, they take these two huge vials of blood, and then they come back at you after they've done the work. It takes about 40 minutes for them to refine it. And then they take an ultrasound, and in this case, both my shoulders have been very severely damaged over the years by accidents on the farm and things that I really didn't have much control over. It's just one of those things. So the needle they stick in you, I was watching the Novocaine, they just numb everything in your, in this case, in the shoulder, where they can put the stuff. And they put this needle in that bends. So they can put, it's amazing to watch it, where we are. This lady who is the doctor, all of the whole team of nurses and doctors, all women. Not a man to be found in this place. It's a Harvard, it's a offshoot of the Harvard medical team, if you will, where they're doing this. It's the usual, the FDA doesn't approve it yet because there isn't enough hooch behind it. So people will say, Ken said when I first said I was going to do it, well, this is not an FDA approved procedure. Rah, 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 rah. Well, it is. Harvard and Spalding Research have done the research into this, and these doctors, the woman who did it is a 40-year veteran of having done this. She is the leader in research. So she was a person that I knew I was going to see her because that's what I wanted to make sure of. We had someone who really knew what they were doing. But all of the team of nurses and doctors who were there as they went through this procedure, really very impressive. It took about an hour and 40 minutes, more or less, to get it done as an outpatient. But when I saw that needle, man, I actually turned my head away because I didn't want to watch. And then I watched the screen where they had the ultrasound, mm-hmm. and they're sharing, you know, the business of what's going on there. But the reason I bring it up is because it's a very practical way for you to take care of stuff in your body without having an operation. So many people today having operations on their knees and their ankles and their hips and shoulder replacement, all that stuff. That's not the way to go. I'm not interested in having anybody saw out basically with a, you know, that's what they do with your hip and your shoulders. They take a chainsaw and they basically just cut the bones out. They strip the flesh away and the muscles. They just saw the bone out and they put in a new plastic bone. Hello, who wants to do that? I know a lot of you are saying right now, I had my hips replaced and it's fabulous. Well, there's probably another way to do it, but because there was money involved, it's expensive to have an operation done like that because you've got to go to the hospital, stay the night, do the bada bada boom. And although some people tell me they've had hip surgery, it was outpatient. I don't know how the hell they do that. But oof. At any rate, I just found this to be more for my lifestyle, more of what is what I can take. I have to take it easy with my shoulders are extraordinarily sore today, but
well, you don't really like painkillers, so an alternative that would not have you needing to take them, I'm sure is right up your alley too.
Yeah, right, exactly. So that's the deal with that. And then I'm going to get my eyes fixed in a couple of weeks so that I can actually see without glasses. That's been something that's been bugging me for years. I actually started wearing glasses in my 40s. Most of you listening, if you do wear glasses, probably when you started. Maybe some of you, more and more, depending on your, how do I say this in a tactful way? Depending on your ethnicity, how's that? Am I okay so far? There are lots of youngsters who come into the world who need glasses almost right away. And that's because in certain ethnic groups, the inbreeding that's going on, that's basically what it is, like that term or not, certain religious groups that only stay unto themselves, they keep inbreeding and they breed families, cousins, and all that stuff. And that makes your body much weaker, especially your eyes. It seems to take its toll. How many youngsters do you see now going around 4, 5, 6, 7 years old? They're already wearing these thick glasses.
Well, also there's different, like, I don't want to say birth defect, but there are some birth defects that also cause younger kids to, like,
well, a lot of that,
you'll see with the glasses that are strapped around their head. I got my first pair of glasses when I was 5.
Did
and
you?
And I had LASIK at, I believe I was 18 or 19 when I had LASIK.
I've never seen you with glasses.
Because I had LASIK.
Oh, okay. Well, so I'm going to go one step further than that. The thing that they will do is take the cataracts. I have a couple of small cataracts. They take them out. And then they stitch in, literally, you're awake through this, but they give you Valium so that you're not going to be crazy. But you're awake, they cut out that part of your eyeball that the cataract is in and the lens, and then they stitch in through a process a new lens. So that, and I had this, I think I talked about it last spring when I had the trial in there to see what it was going to look like. Mm-hmm. I kept them in for a month, and then so I know what I'm going to have as a result of this thing being done.
It is still not really trippy seeing that needle coming at your eye.
Ah!
Because that's kind of this is what they do with LASIK, too, where they
Up
and you don't feel any of it. But right. You are staring at what they are doing, and it is trippy.
Yeah. Well, they hold your eyeballs, your eyelids open while they do it. Anyway, so those of you who are living the life, the next thing you know, you're going to be swimming in new information, all of this stuff that's going on. As a matter of fact, here's some news that is, you're going to see this more reported in the next week or two, but I thought I would lay this on you right now. You know, and again, I'm kind of in combat mode when it comes to all the climatologists and the climate people and the religionists who are trying to get you to sign into, and it's affecting farmers a lot, so that's why I've taken this on as a cause. Global warming, you actually got me to thinking about it a little bit more in the last hour, Jay, when you were talking about the sun expanding, and that's maybe why we are finding ourselves with warmer days, and the climate is changing, because it does. The Earth has a history of climate change. And so right now, came across, frankly, the Montreal Protocol, which was put into effect in the 1980s. They've been studying the ozone layer of our planet. Remember, there was probably you don't remember, some of us that are my age maybe or close to this age, remember when they were talking about the hole in the atmosphere and that there was a danger of the atmosphere getting sucked out by, you know, the vastness of space. There's nothing there. So when you go beyond a certain mileage, you know, you get up like 40, 50, 60 miles above the surface of the Earth, there's no atmosphere. And that means there's no air, there's no anything. That's why when you get up above the horizon or up above when you are in a spaceship, the things that these people are experiencing is when you go up to a certain point, it becomes dark. It's not light anymore, it's dark. The darkness of space, dark, and there's no atmosphere there. So those of you who have been worried because your science teacher told you that the planet was going to somehow or other be influenced to the point of we all die because the ozone layer is going away, well, the ozone layer is in fact on track to fully recover from the depletion that we were concerned about in the 80s within the next. So it's been 40 years since this study was started in the 80s, and now, and that's a hard thing for me to swallow, it seems like yesterday was the 80s. In the next 40 years,
you will find that it'll be fixed. That's the result of all this study for the last 40 years. All these people that are moaning and groaning about climate change, the ozone layer is on track to, this is, again, a report to the United Nations this week. Panel of scientists gathered there. They have a meeting every 4 years to assess the progress of the work being done by this Montreal Protocol. It was started in the 80s. 180 countries are doing things to fix the ozone layer, changing the chemical makeup, the chemicals. The worst, what was depleting the ozone layer was the spray cans that, you know, you spray whatever it is, you spray deodorant under your arm, you spray the stuff for shaving your face, you spray the stuff to make the room smell good, you spray the stuff to fix a paint blemish on your car. All of that stuff had the ingredients, the chemicals in it, that when in the atmosphere caused the ozone depletion. 99%. This is something we can all be proud of, and that has come about because of those people who did the work and who have focused on getting rid of this stuff. I'm not saying that there wasn't a problem at all. There was a problem, and there still is. But 99% of the stuff that was bothering the ozone layer in the 1980s is banned, is gone. There's an agreement. One of the few things we seem to be able to agree upon among us as different countries and that sort of thing, this stuff, with the ozone layer replenishes itself. And so now without all these spray things, the ultraviolet rays, which would have been a problem, a lot of people getting skin cancer because of all of that. That problem is, we are recovering from it, and the ozone depletion problem is basically either going away or will be gone in the next 40 years. I think that's a fabulous. The reason I came up with that is because a lot of people say to me, well, you're talking about global warming and stuff, and you don't have any respect for the work being done. That's not true. I have a lot of respect for the world, for the work being done.
Yeah, both things can be true at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's a lot like it was the end of the world, because it's not. It's, in fact, it's a very healthy. This is a great announcement. You'll be reading a lot more about this probably in the next week or two.
I am Robert Strickler. My wife Joyce and I have been married for 53 years. Certainly one of the really important things in my life are our children and our grandchildren. I am essentially a writer. I've been involved in communications in the media. I've been an avid fly fisherman for at least 40 or more years. I've been taking Prevagen on a regular basis for at least 8 years. For me, the greatest benefit over the years has been that Prevagen seems to help me recall things and also think more clearly, have a crisper ability to remember and think through things. And I enthusiastically recommend Prevagen. It has helped me an awful lot.
Prevagen, healthier brain, better life. Robert Strickler is a content contributor for Prevagen and real user, based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Focused on what's happening here, there, and everywhere, some interesting news. This is the social media trending department. We talk about people who are in the news, mostly celebrities like Gwen Stefani, seems to be someone. I just said to Jay and to James, man, she's skinny. She needs a hamburger. She needs something. She looks sick. You take a look at her. She's just, you know who else is so skinny? Claire Danes. She was on.
But can we also normalize not commenting on people's bodies one way or the other? Or whether too heavy or too thin?
Yeah, you can. I still feel like it's a health thing for me. I would comment on it no matter who or what or where, because I think it's not a good look. I don't think people look up to people who are like Stefani, who are celebrities, and young girls make themselves sick because they think that's the way they're supposed to look.
But what if she's actually battling something?
I don't know.
Just opening that door for the conversation. People have thyroid issues or actual eating disorders or something. There's so many hidden layers to people that we don't know. It's only speculation.
Yep, that's true. But if that's the case, then maybe they have no obligation because they're private individuals. They don't have to tell us anything. But it would be a nice lesson if, in fact, they are doing or going through that sort of thing, to help other people who may have the same problem. It's not their obligation, but it would be nice. So maybe it sounds distasteful for me to say something like that about women. I probably say it more often about women than I do men. I don't know that I acknowledge or think. Now I'm trying to think about it now that you bring my attention to this. I'm not sure. The last time I saw a male who was a celebrity, maybe RuPaul or somebody who is that skinny and they look like they need help. They look like they're sick. But that's not my business. So, okay, yeah, I'll remind myself of that before I open my mouth when I'm talking about it. And that's not what the issue is here anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the Gwen Stefani story?
Yeah, but let's go back. Yes, yes. She is a style icon, I am told, and I think a lot of people have thought that she is someone who seems to set the tone not only for what we were just talking about, but the way she dresses. Would you agree with that? She is a dresser extraordinaire, mm-hmm. and apparently has a lot of East Asian garb in her closet. She is an extoller of the value and virtue of Japanese culture, likes the way they dress, and so therefore she has been going back and forth from her home in California to Japan for the last 18 years. She actually is
the Harajuku girl that she mentions in a lot of her songs, and she
right.
kind of follows that style wise.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what that's what this is about. How do you, it's spelled H A R A J U K U Harajuku.
Harajuku. So,
yeah, what is that? Does that influence you and what you buy?
Well, no, but I'm super basic. Like me
right,
wearing
okay.
tan is me wearing color, too much color.
That's an interesting reality, isn't it, huh? So if you go back to 2004 when she released her album Love, Angel, Music, Baby, which featured this song about the girls that we're talking about, she had hired a bunch of backup dancers that were part of the album's promotion. And so that's when she started following this kind of clothing. And apparently she has, you know, her brand now. She's launched a line. Actually, she's had fragrance in this line since 2008. Apparently there is now clothing in it.
She's had a fashion line, Lamb.
Really?
I want to say since the early aughts.
Right. So at any rate, the attention is being called to her and to the new interest in what she's wearing. It's very colorful, actually. I'm looking at one of the dresses that she wears. It's almost like the old days of tie-dye. Is that the way the patterns are built into the dresses and the shirts and stuff? It's actually quite interesting. And I think if you're tired of the same old stuff, you might want to look at that stuff. It's, again, Harajuku, Gwen Stefani's line here. Social media time, trending things. There are three things, actually, that are trending in terms of what the public seems to be most interested in regarding celebrity, etc. Number one, we just talked about the results of the Golden Globes last night. Number two on the list is who's going to be at Coachella. The people that are going to be in the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, which is slated for two weekends in April, the 14th to the 16th, and then the 21st to the 23rd. The lineup includes, but is not limited to, Bad Bunny, Frank Ocean, Blackpink. That's that Korean bunch of guys, right? Isn't that who
Blackpink are ladies. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But they're from Korea or not?
I think you're thinking BTS.
Ah, that's what I'm thinking of. Right, exactly. So the pre-sale starts today at 11 o'clock Eastern. If you're big into Coachella, these festival tickets, they're guaranteed. Or your money back. I don't know. What does that mean, guaranteed? That all the people that are supposed to be there, Andrea Bocelli is supposed to be there. This is one of the most interesting things because they have all kinds of entertainers. Mm. Foreigner, Taylor Swift. That list, and the list goes on and on. You look at there are any number of articles about who's going to be there and how they're promoting it and what it costs to get in.
Foreigners are going to be there. Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, right. So there's that. Okay, also, in the social media news department, story number three today is about Prince Harry's memoir called Spare. This was officially released yesterday, and in England alone, It sold over 400,000 copies in one day, the fastest selling nonfiction book ever sold in England. What does that tell you about the interest that Prince Harry and the family doesn't get it? They don't. This guy, regardless of what you think of him, still has the attention and the interest. Imagine on an island where there are 50 some odd million people, one book sells, and they don't have, they're out. Like the stores, every store that had them sold out. Now, what's it going to do in America? It comes, it's officially out in America today. He was on with Stephen Colbert last night, and he seems to be, as I said, I like the guy. I don't know what I think of Meghan Markle, and I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of difference in this circumstance. They obviously are tight, and they seem to be well-suited for each other, and they seem to be happy with each other. Oh, and after that, what difference does it make?
Well, and I think the fascination with all of this is because people typically don't know what's going on inside the royal family. And there's always been this obsession with the royal family, but we've only been privy to whatever the media tells us, whatever the what is now being deemed the quote-unquote the firm allows out. And this is the first time that there is an inside family member who is giving their version of the truth.
Dishing out the dirt, if you will. So anyway, the book's called Spare, out today. Prince Harry had it. So it's great business time for Caledra, and I would think the phones would be ringing off the hook and people would be ordering ad nauseum.
That's right. You know, it'll be 25 years this April, and we've been helping customers lose weight safely and effectively for 25 years. So if you need to lose the weight, you've really got to check it out on our website, toploss.com, because like Doug said, it's so much more than just a weight loss product. I mean, we're not talking about a quick fix fad product. There are no drugs. There are no stimulants. Our number one ingredient is collagen protein. It's got types 1 and 3. That's for the muscle and the joints.
All right. And don't forget the 90-90 special right now. Use the DJV code for free shipping as well. DJV code at toploss.com and the Get Fit contest. That sounds like it would be kind of fun. Calitrin at toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller here, one of the great Calitrin consultants at toploss.com. Bark and bite. Just because you're barking doesn't mean you're going to bite somebody. And vice versa. Sometimes dogs bite and don't bark before they bite. Here's Warren Eckstein, who's with us on the Good Day program, whose bark is always worse than his bite. That has been proven for decades on the program he hosts every weekend. A lot of the same stations that carry this program carry the pet show. It is a fabulous way for you to find out what's going on, kind of like the doctors we have on the air, on the health programs on the weekend. Those are aimed at helping you figure out how to best take care of yourself. Well, Warren is here to help you take care of your pets. And there are a lot of, I saw something, we were talking about pollution and things. There's a story about this clever recycling dog, Warren. I wonder if you heard about it going around the streets collecting bottles during his daily walk. He's a 13-year-old border collie. He's called the Eco Dog. Is this a good, is this puppy abuse, dog abuse, or is this good?
Listen, I live in California, in Los Angeles. I don't know if I want my dog putting anything in his mouth that he finds on the streets. That's number one. And I mean that seriously.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
on a side note, just recently, not too far away from where I live, on Ocean Walk in Santa Monica, a dog almost died because he ingested a hypodermic needle. And they're finding more and more things like that. So yeah, you got to be real careful when you walk your dogs nowadays. It's scary out there. But I don't know about an eco dog. I guess in ways, if you want to teach him, I don't know. I don't know. That's what sanitation departments are for. Okay,
yes.
I don't need my dog picking up garbage for people.
Well, you know, I think I told you this story a few months ago. My son was out walking, and he and his new baby take walks every day, and they bring the dog with them. The dog is a Staffordshire that he rescued from the side of the road, actually, up in Lancaster. And so the dog was sniffing along, as dogs do, and ate something, and Brendan knew what it was. Dog got violently sick, and he brought him to the vet. The vet says he's got marijuana. He ate something, ingested something that had marijuana in it, and it sent him over the edge. So that kind of stuff, too, you have to. People are so damn selfish, throwing stuff along the street and
They're dropping it on the sidewalks and stuff. Good God.
You know, I'm glad you brought that thing up about marijuana. Let me tell you a quick story. It's interesting to know that the marijuana, because it's legal now in so many states like California, I have no problem with that. People use it for many different reasons. However, now with the marijuana edibles, it's way, way more dangerous. You know,
yeah.
A dog's not going to roll a joint and smoke it, but if you drop a gummy on the floor, he may pick it up. So you got to be real careful. If you're going to use cannabis for whatever reason, and it's up to you, the bottom line is just make sure you put it away like any other medication.
Yep. Be careful about that. How often do we talk about extinction of certain animals? While we talk about domesticated animals, and I suppose that's probably your main focus and course, but I wonder, because so many people have such different pets these days, strange things. And so what are we, you know, when you're thinking about some of the stuff that people have, you wonder, where did it come from? I was looking at this. There's a new, well, I don't know how new it is, the oldest living land animal, a tortoise. Somebody found one that was 190 years old. How do they even figure out? But how often do you talk to somebody in your program who's got a turtle that wants advice about how to take care of their turtle?
You know, it's kind of interesting, but we have quite a few people here in Southern California. I do the L.A. show, not the network show, but the L.A. show. A lot of people do have tortoises, desert tortoises living in their backyard. I have many, many friends who have desert tortoises living in their backyard. And you know what? They get along with their dogs. They get along with their cats. And they just, you know, having a tortoise, it sounds kind of weird, but it's almost like meditating. Watching the way a tortoise moves and the slowness of the tortoise. And that's why they live so long. Maybe we can learn from them and slow down a little bit.
Maybe. You're right about that. So there are some people who are adopting pandas from China. There have been a lot of pandas born apparently in Taiwan. And because the Taiwanese are worried about what the Chinese are up to, they have some pandas. I thought pandas were very rare and very expensive. What do you know about pandas?
I don't know a lot about pandas. I just know that when anything becomes popular, it's the downfall of that. I remember, I'm going to talk about this on my show this week. I remember when I first started training, I was working with breeds like Norwegian Elkhounds and Kisons and breeds that you don't see too much. And there are certain breeds like the Hamilton Stavor, a beautiful dog in Europe, that are no longer around. So even domestic animals can become extinct if people aren't careful about the breeding and the way they handle them. So, yeah, you just got to, you know, you got to treat animals the way you would treat your next-door neighbor. I hope you would treat your next-door neighbor with a lot of... I open my show every week by saying respecting pets and animals is probably the most important thing you can do.
Well, if you're listening to Warren's program, you'll hear the story about hugs and kisses, his line, exclusive line of great vitamins and minerals for your cat, your dog. You can check it out at hugsandkisses.com or thepetshow.com, where Warren can be found as well, lurking about. Warren, next time with Doug Steffen and Jay. The Doug Steffen Good Day Download with Doug and Jay Kirshner is made possible in part by Kellitrin, which is the safe way for you to lose weight and keep it off. And also by Prevagen, keeping your brain healthy.